All right. Can you hear me now? Wow. Sorry about that, guys. Radio gremlins are in the air, and Mercury retrograde. Anyway, welcome. It is Bowerly News Radio 930 WBEN, and we're talking about road rage. Have you been the victim? Let's get back to Steve in Tonawanda. Steve, you are with us on WBEN. Hello.
Exciting. So after the incident happened, I went to the police station to fill out a report, and I tell them the intersection I'm at, and they go, oh, okay, was it this guy or that guy? I said, well, it was this guy, and what did he do? I said, well, he did this, you know, attacked my car, and said, well, we'll add it to the pile, but there's not a whole lot we can do about it. You know, even if you called 911 and we showed up right there, the most we can do is give him a ticket, and well, you're not going to really see any justice. And so was there any damage done to your vehicle? And I said, no, it sounded like he had maybe dented it, but as he continued to kick down the side of the car, the sounded like the dents also then came out. So
What? Just so people know, at what intersection did this this miscarriage of justice take place?
Broadway and Bailey.
Broadway and Bailey? How come Broadway and Bailey keeps coming up on the show?
A very unique intersection.
I know, but not on this topic, but it just seems to be one of those things that repeats itself. I think we had an accident at Broadway and Bailey a couple of weeks ago. I'm sorry that happened to you, man. Were you more scared or more like, are you kidding me? Dude, I mean, you're in a wheelchair. What are you going to do?
Well, I mean, I wasn't scared. I was irritated, fuming, because as someone who can conceal and carry daily, and I have to know the penal code better than most people like you do, and it's like I can't really do anything except drive away, because that's all it is. So I had to ignore my initial instinct of stopping it from happening and just, you know, wait till I could safely make a left-hand turn and get out of there.
Well, I mean, you did the right thing. You took evasive action. There was a situation at around Main and Transit 20, 25 years ago where a guy used deadly physical force on a guy who was clearly the aggressor, but there was no need for deadly physical force, and the guy ended up getting, I think, 25 to life.
And it's not worth it, so you just drive away. I'm with you. You can't escalate the situation, so.
No.
You know.
No. I mean, but obviously it sounds like this guy has a long track record with the local constabulary. So did you get that feeling? I mean, if they're saying, was it this guy or this guy?
Yeah, no, he definitely did. And the biggest thing was, essentially, they said, well, someday he's going to do it to the wrong person on the wrong day, and something bad will probably happen through no fault of anyone except him.
And remember, if you have a big enough vehicle, take the body with you and dump it, okay?
Exactly.
Exactly. Thank you. Thank you very much. And hope there's no cameras around.
Exactly. Right. No cameras.
I'm sorry. I don't know how he got in my car, and I'm not sure how he ended up in the landfill. It just happens sometimes, I guess. Or the big river farm. Might be better, because that would take care of some of the DNA anyway. So good luck. I hope it doesn't happen to you again. But unfortunately, the individual clearly, in addition to being physically disabled, also has some kind of a mental illness. And you absolutely did the right thing. Using deadly physical force in that situation would never be justified.
No, but you have a great day.
I shall. Thank you. Let's get back to the calls on WBEN. Sorry about the glitch earlier, guys. I have no idea. Have you been the victim of road rage? Like, you haven't done anything wrong, but somebody decides to take out their frustrations on you on the road. And you're on WBEN. Jerry in Tonawanda. Hello.
Hey, Tom. First off, I'm a professional driver for the top two companies in the country for over 35 years and since have retired. So having said that, let me give you some advice. First off, 85% of all accidents in parking lots are from backing up. So whenever possible, don't ever park where you have to back out. You always park where you can pull out. Always park where you can pull out. That way you can avoid that situation.
Yeah, it couldn't be avoided on that day, unfortunately.
Well, and then the other thing, if it's not avoidable, you always, 100% of the time, no matter if there's no one around, you honk your horn 2 times before backing. That way, if someone's walking or something, they hear you or a car. You always honk your horn when you back. Okay.
How about just looking both ways? And most cars these days have sensors on them.
Well, you can look, but you should always honk.
Honking the horn reminds me of that movie we had to watch in driver education, The Smith System of Driving. And all that guy did was honk his horn every 2 seconds. Remember that film?
Yeah, but I'm just saying, when you back up, how do you know someone isn't walking, not paying attention, and they're looking at their phone? And if you honk, then they look up, and then they see you. I mean, you just do that. I've been doing that my whole life, honking, and I've never, knock on wood, hit anybody or had anybody hit me backing up.
Well, I haven't hit anybody yet, but I mean, with the sensors that are on cars now and the cameras that are on cars now, there's a lot of electrical assistance out there for you. Man, I do the I do the full scan of the area before backing up. Sounds like you're trying to blame me for this.
No, I'm just saying not everybody has sensors on the car, Tom. I don't, you know.
No, anyway. Well, I do. I mean, I've got sensors, I've got a camera, and I looked both. I mean, let's put it this way. If I hadn't looked both ways, I would have backed up into him. But I looked both ways. It's like, dude, you're going the wrong way.
A lot of people don't do that, though. But anyway, my situation here was, when I was delivering packages several years ago, downtown Buffalo, and as you realize, in downtown Buffalo, delivery drivers, you have to double park. You don't park. That's just the standard. You just double park and put your flashers on. You go in, make your delivery, and come back out. So it was, in the summer, and I went in, put my flashers on, parked. Unfortunately, my driver's side door was open, and went in, made the delivery, came back out, and when I got back in my truck, I looked over, and the steering wheel had a huge loogie hanging from it.
Oh.
Guess somebody was pissed just because I didn't. Like, really? Bro, I mean, I'm a delivery driver, and I have to double park. There was no need for that.
But was it the double parking, or was it – wait, did you leave the driver's door open, or did the person who left the loogie on your wheel?
No, I mean, it was the summertime. You know, a hot summer day, we always leave our doors open. So, I mean
– So it was a sliding door, not an open door, not like a wing door.
No, a sliding door.
Gotcha.
Yeah,
all right, Roger. On the one hand, it's really disgusting. On the other hand, you kind of have to admire a couple of things. Number one, the ability to summon that kind of a loogie on cue. I don't have that talent. And number two, the sheer aim. It's got to be respected.
He got lucky. Yeah, no, I don't respect anybody that does that.
That's a lucky shot. Oh my! So that sounds really gross. Do you remember the color? Was it a green, a yellow? What was it?
You know what? I didn't. You know what? No.
Dude, that is so vile.
It tasted better than it looked, though.
It's a fool. Now, that was a true story, right? You just gave me the punchline at the end.
It's a true story. It happened, but no, I didn't eat it, Tom.
No, at least not without the proper condiments. But you know what?
Yeah, see, yeah, it's true. I mean, I've had. You always come across people flipping you off. You're double parked, which you have to. They flip you off. They cuss at you, and we're just taught that, you know what? Don't get in trouble. You don't want to lose your job over it, so just ignore it and move on. That's an everyday occurrence with drivers, you know.
Are you still driving?
No, I'm retired. I retired 8 years ago.
Okay, did you notice an escalation in road rage during your final years on the job?
No, not really, because I retired, 2015. So, yeah, not really. I would say since COVID, I've seen a lot more road rage with just regular just on the road period than before COVID.
You know what? I think that you've raised an excellent point. I think people flipped their you-know-what during COVID, and I don't think it's ever flipped back onto the other side. People went nuts during COVID.
I agree.
I think we are still seeing the lingering mental health effects of COVID, not only on our children, but also on people who ought to know better by virtue of their age.
But yeah, and your Gen Z and all that, those people, they're stuck to their phone, so they don't have any social skills. So you know what? That's how they react.
Well, I'm very sorry, but if it makes you feel any better, I see people eating oysters. I think I have the same feeling as you did when you looked at the present that was left on your steering wheel.
No, because oysters, I love oysters, so I mean, I don't have a problem eating.
Oh, dude, eating I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said oysters because my stomach is about to, like, clench and, oh. All right, let's move on quickly because, sir, of all the sea creatures that we put in our mouths, oysters, I don't understand. I'm never going to understand. And, just sea creatures, man.
Oysters and clams are really good. I mean, you know.
Well, see, I'm a hypocrite because I'll eat steamed clams. I'll eat steamed clams, sir. But I draw the line at mussels and oysters and anything like that. Just too boogery for me.
Yeah. I mean, to each their own. I mean, some don't and some do.
I mean, I'm sorry, whenever I see an oyster, I think, that's a hell of a sinus infection. Oh, wait, no, it's an oyster. I appreciate the call, brother. Hang in there.
Have a good day.
Absolutely. 803-0930, have you been the victim of road rage? Your humble host was the victim of road rage over the weekend. And, I mean, it was comical, actually, to think about it. Afterwards, but you know, a different situation, okay? Different guy, different set of circumstances. Maybe it was a guy who just got served divorce papers, and maybe he had a shotgun in his car. This young man might not have made it to the intersection where he squealed his tires to indicate his lack of male endowment and to impress everybody. Here is Ann on W. It all gets down to lack of male endowment, by the way, most of life. Here's Ann in, believe me, I know, Ann in Cheektowaga. You're on WBEN. Hello.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for taking my call. Road rage. This happened a couple of years ago. I was stopped at a red light and nobody behind me, but then I see this dark pickup truck, probably a Silverado, barreling down at me, and I thought they were going to hit me, but then at the last minute, they kind of went, I was in the right-hand lane, they went on the sidewalk and were going to make a right turn, and I beeped my horn, and then they stopped dead as they were making the turn. I'm like, oh, crap. And then when the light turned green, they hurried up to go in front of me. And then there was a parking lot on the right-hand side in the, fort, like, up ahead. They went in there, and I hung back a little bit because I thought they were going to either T-bone me as I was passing or follow me home, which I didn't want. So then, meantime, I'm calling the police, and I wasn't the only one calling. The lady or guy, whoever behind me, they were kind of driving with me, and they were calling also. So someone else saw this. But anyway.
And another thing, too, don't forget as much as you can to whip out the video camera. That is good evidence. You whip out the video camera, and you get their offense on tape. Let them talk their way out of that.
I did not think about that, and that's a very good idea, and I'm thinking about getting a dash cam for my car. But anyhow, he eventually pulled out in front of me and then turned down the side street where I would be turning down to get to where I live. So then I turn also, and then I pulled over on the side because I was, a little bit shaken, naturally, and I'm still on the phone with the police. And then he went ahead a little bit and then turned around and then rubbed his engine. And then, as you said, poorly endowed individual started barreling right at my car as if he would be hitting me head on. And did not even let up on the gas. And then at the last minute, swerved to pass me and then pulled out into the main street and drove off. I didn't get a plate number. All I knew, it was a pickup, dark. It was dark outside, so I'm thinking a dark or black Silverado. And the other person described it the same way. They were on the phone with the police, with 911.
Yeah, without a tag, there's only so much you can do. With a tag, they can send somebody over to the registrant's address and have a little conversation.
Exactly.
And with a tag and video, they can have an even better conversation.
I know. That's why I wish I had a dash cam at that point. But I don't know if the person behind me got the tag number, but I call like the next day just follow up, and obviously they weren't found. Kind of hard to without a tag number, but that was a little nerve-wracking. I didn't know what their intentions were, if they were just trying to, you know, screw around with me, or I don't know.
Well, you know, this raises an interesting question under Article 35 of the New York Penal Code. If you've got a Silverado that is heading straight on towards you, which a reasonable person would interpret as a direct threat to your physical existence, if you had used deadly physical force, if I'm sitting on that jury, you walk. You don't even get indicted.
And I don't know what these people think. They don't know what I have in the car.
No, they do not. All you have to do is think about a certain scene from Tarantino's Reservoir Dogs.
Exactly.
You know the movie, you know the scene of which I speak?
Vaguely. It was a long time ago that I've seen that movie.
Well, Tim Roth and Harvey Keitel hijack a car without knowing that the woman inside, who didn't very much care for Tim Roth, actually, whipped out a revolver and, let's say, gave the Tim Roth character a lethal shot right into the breadbasket.
I almost wish I had something in the car because I really felt threatened, obviously.
Well, of course. I mean, look, if somebody is bearing down on you with malicious intent in their giant pickup truck and heading right towards you, I would reasonably believe that your life is in danger and you are entitled to take defensive action against that danger.
Yeah.
I mean, that's my interpretation of the law, which may or may not jibe with the DA's. Or an attorney, but, you know, if you reasonably believe your life is in danger and you can't get out of that situation, what else are you supposed to do? Sit there and get hammered by a big pickup truck? I think not. The most unfortunate part about this story, ma'am, is I happen to really like Silverados.
Oh, they're wonderful cars, I'm sure. I'm a Ford girl, but I'm sure they're great cars, too.
Yeah, but, okay. I thank you kindly for the call. Talking about road rage. Thank you, my love. Talking about road rage, loves, on News Radio 930 WBEN. Now, this is a bad time to call. You know what a good time to call is? When Tom Puckett, during the news at 3:30, slides into his commercial break. That's a good time to call. Talking about road rage. And look, I'm not a lawyer, but I am very conversant with Article 35 of the New York Penal Code, defense of justification. And I'm sorry, but if somebody tried to indict her, if she had used deadly physical force, given the set of circumstances and the situation she described, I would ascribe that to self-defense. Absolutely. No bill. Sorry. Didn't, you know, a civil matter, something else. But as far as criminal is concerned, no way. I mean, what would you do? Somebody starts driving straight at you in a giant pickup truck. What are you supposed to do? You can't get away from it. You cannot escape with complete safety to yourself and others. What are you supposed to do? And people who do stupid stuff like that ought to realize that they might end up dead and you might probably end up walking. Now, if somebody accosts you and you're safely in your car, that changes the rules. Well, it doesn't change the rule, but it changes the circumstances quite a bit, as that individual found out 20, 25 years ago at Maine in Transit. There was no reason for deadly physical force to be used in that situation, even though the guy who was the aggressor in it apparently had a rather lengthy criminal record. That doesn't matter, because the person who used the deadly physical force was not entitled to, according to the law, use deadly physical force at that time and ended up spending many years in prison. Just an unfortunate set of circumstances. Talking about road rage, have you been the victim of road rage? Take calls coming up after the news at 3:30. Okay, well, now is a good time to call. Look, most of us drive, and many of us have experienced road rage. You've been the victim of road rage even when you've done absolutely nothing wrong. Happened to me over the weekend, backing up out of a parking spot, and I look both ways, even if it's a one-way, and my sensor went off, and I hit the brakes, and I saw this moron in a tan pickup truck going the wrong way on a one-way in a parking lot, clearly denoted by the arrow painted into the parking lot, and I pointed my finger as if to say, it's one-way, man, you're going the wrong way. I wasn't giving him the finger. I wasn't angry. It was just like, dude, bad things are going to happen to you if a car pulls in because you're going to get head-on. Well, my reward for caring about my fellow human being was to be, I think, flipped off and certainly told to blank myself, which I thought was very inappropriate. And yeah, I could have pursued. I could have gotten the tag. I could have called the cops. They'd have been there, Johnny on the spot. But just like, you know what? I got things I got to do. I don't feel like getting tied up for a half hour with this nonsense. But anyway, if you see a thin young man with short hair and a beard and a tan pickup truck, beware, because he has a temper. He's a nasty fellow. 803-0930. I'll see him again sometime. It's a small community. 803-0930, star 930. And I'll do what every man should do. I'll just slash all his tires. 803-0930. I wouldn't do such a thing. Star 930 on the cell phone and 1-800-616-WBEN. Have you been the victim of road rage? We've heard from a lot of Americans today, a lot of Buffalonians and Western New Yorkers. Now, the QEW is about the closest you're going to find to the Autobahn next to Route 33 in Buffalo, the Kensington Expressway. The worst drivers in the world, the most dangerous drivers in the world, I'm convinced, are on the 33 locally and the QEW in Ontario. That's where Tim Horton met his end, but there were certain other things at play there if you read the autopsy report. But 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. Have you been the victim of road rage? Describe what happened. Describe what you did. Describe what they did, whether you believe it was justified or not justified. And I would like to take your telephone calls on this because it happens to people every bloody day. And all I can tell you is, as far as you and road rage, it isn't worth it. In my younger years, I'm going to confess that I often had road rage. I was never really in the habit of flipping people off, except the one night. True story. About 1982, after 83, I've worked a late shift, and I'm going through an intersection at Elmwood and something or other, and it didn't look like the car was going to stop, and I believe I may have flipped off the vehicle. I may have done that. Well, I proceed up the street a couple of blocks, heading toward the thruway entrance. And I heard the weirdest sound in my ears. It was something like, rawr! And I thought, well, that's odd. That sounds kind of like a police siren. Then I hear, rawr! And I see a red light. I'm like, okay, of all of the people to flip off, I flip off a couple of Buffalo cops. It's like, oh, damn the luck. So they walk up to the car. And I just said, you know, if I didn't know you were police officers, I never would have done that. I didn't think y'all were going to stop. So I opened up the glove box at their instruction, of course, and they were more concerned, I think, in that neighborhood with whether I had any contraband in the car, which, of course, I did not because it was rectally inserted. But 803-0930, have you been the victim of road rage? What happened? Where did it happen? Did they ever catch up with the road rager? You know, we keep on hearing all these news stories about, oh, the police are going to crack down on aggressive driving. Well, sorry, but if they have, I sure haven't seen it. and I don't blame the police. They've got a lot of things that they've got to do. They're very busy, and you know, I don't know how you make a charge stick on road rage. I'm not even sure what the vehicle in traffic charge is, or whether it goes out of vehicle in traffic into something else. I don't know, but it's just not worth it. And it's just one of those things where now, as I've said, if somebody does something stupid and I've got to slam the brakes on or something, I just don't. You know what? I just take stupid for granted. And I might mutter to myself, I might talk to myself in my car, I might swear in the car, but I don't flip people off and I don't yell at them as I go by. The only time that I lower the window and I talk to other drivers is when I know that I did something stupid. And it's kind of funny because when you know you've done something stupid and you tell the other driver, hey, bro, I apologize. That was my bad. I really messed up. I'm sorry. It can totally defuse a situation. And I've never had that not work. It's always worked. And I'm man enough to admit when I've made a mistake, especially a driving mistake. And we all make them. And that's why you got to drive defensively. And back in Driver Ed, I always thought Driver Ed was a guy who taught how to drive. His name is Ed. He teaches people how to drive. But we had to see this film on the Smith system of driving. And this guy was, all he did was honk his horn. And I just remember thinking, even at 17 years old, this guy is a big pain in the butt. Because all he's doing is honking his horn. If everybody drove like this guy, all you would hear is constant, incessant honking of horns. It would be like Manhattan at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. And I don't know about you, but it's not the most pleasant place to be. So have you been the victim of road rage? Where are my Canucks today? Where? I mean, come on, you guys have the QEW, you've got the GTA, you've got people driving at 150 miles an hour like it's the Autobahn. There's got to be some great road rage stories. There's got to be some great road rage stories from the Kensington. I mean, I am not known to drive particularly slow, but of course I do the speed limit, never a mile over the speed limit. But on the Kensington, man, over the summertime, I literally had people, I was doing the limit, right? I had people going by me at easily 110 miles an hour, 120 miles an hour. They weren't even on motorcycles. Like, whoa, this is not good. And it was a whole bunch of them. There were like five people who blew by at a ridiculous rate of speed. I couldn't believe what I'd seen. And I've been driving a long time and many thousands of accident-free miles, I might add. Tens of thousands, maybe a million accident-free miles, and never an accident that was my fault that involved a moving vehicle. Although I might have, I may have backed into a car once and I had to leave my name and number because I just couldn't. I couldn't live with myself if I hadn't have done that. And, you know, I said, look, can we just not put this through insurance? I'm going to make you whole. Just give me the estimate. I'll give you cash and everything's going to be cool. I'll pay for your loaner car. And he was really cool about it. He was a Buffalo educator, if you must know. But the funniest thing is, a couple of weeks later, I was parked and somebody did the same thing to me and they left a note. I was like, this is what karma, literally C-A-R-M-A in this case, is all about. But have you been the victim of road rage? And is road rage getting worse? Is road rage getting better? That is to say, is it on the rise? Is it on the decrease? And I think it's probably on the rise. And I ascribe COVID to a great psychological shift in the American public. I really do. I think COVID made people crazy. And I don't think people are over COVID. I truly don't. I'd like your thoughts on this. 803-0930, star 930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. 803-0930, star 930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. This show is only as good as your phone calls because I've only got a limited number of stories that I can tell because, you know, as far as I can tell, I'm pretty much a perfect driver. But, you know, there's a lot of... It's fine, back into the car. Anyway, all right, it was superficial damage, but I couldn't drive away from it. I'm sorry, I wasn't brought up that way. I had to leave the name and number. That's just the only thing I could do. I mean, do you know how horrible I would feel if I just driven away without doing that. That's just no, you don't do that. Men and real women do not do that. You bump into somebody's car, superficial damage, you leave your name, you leave your number, and most importantly, where they call you. Yeah, could we not go through insurance? Let me just take care of this out of my own pocket because I don't feel like having my rates go up. 803-0930 is the phone number, *930 on the cell phone, and 1-800-616-WBEN. And the ironic thing about that is, by the way, in my defense, I will tell you that when it comes to parallel parking, I rock, okay? I am one of the best parallel parkers you will ever see on the roads. People who've been passengers in my car have remarked on my uncanny ability to perfectly parallel park, which was slightly more alliterative than I thought it was going to be when I had the thought. 803-0930, *930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. Special hello to everybody who had a tooth taken out today. Let's get to the calls, and it is Scott in Chittawaga. Scott, we're talking about road rage. Have you seen it? Have you been the victim of it? And if you are somebody who is guilty of road rage, you can call in and tell us why you go through road rage. And I'll tell you what, I'm not going to judge you, okay? I've been there. I used to be that way. I'm not that way anymore because it just isn't worth blowing a gasket and having a stroke. You're on WBEN. Welcome.
How's it going, Tom?
Hey, excellent. Thank you.
All right, so I have two different, like, crazy driving stories. One, I was heading southbound on Union, just got off the 33, crossing Genesee, and I'm watching northbound traffic where a car went into the left turning lane to go west on Genesee, but he used that lane to go straight onto Union to cut somebody off that was in front of him who was going slow. I've seen that twice now, and I think that's insane to begin with.
On a road like Union Road by Genesee, that is insane, depending on the time of the day. I mean, it's illegal. It's illegal, yeah. Okay, but it's also, it's a turning lane, not a passing lane.
Yeah, it's a turning left lane, not to go in the lane and then cut across the straight lanes. And the second one I've seen multiple times is as you're coming off the 198 onto the 33 going toward the airport, you go around that bend there, then there's a yield sign for the oncoming traffic from the other side. I've seen cars not even stop anywhere. They're just blowing through the yield sign. When there's plenty of traffic they yield to, they don't even care anymore.
Oh, that sucks. Hey, you know what's even worse? I had a story the other day about a woman. Okay, a certain lady was coming over to my house. Go figure. And she was behind somebody who literally stopped at the yield sign at a rotary and would not advance. Finally, a car that was in the rotary saw my friend's predicament and waved the person into traffic. Otherwise, she might still be sitting there.
Yeah, I've seen that a lot near Kensington and Harlem, where people stop in the rotaries, like wave you on, like, no, that's not how this works. You keep going.
Yeah, and the thing is, we talked about this the other day, and I might revisit this topic in the next hour along with road rage. Do you prefer the rotaries, the traffic circles? And I know that there's some distinction between them, but in Buffalo we use the words interchangeably, so I'm not going to worry about semantics too much. Don't you prefer rotaries to stoplights?
If you know how to drive in the rotaries, yes, I do prefer the rotaries, but there are people that do not know how to drive in the rotaries.
Well, you know, that is so unfortunate because there's a couple of them in Harlem that I run into all the time, and it just makes things so much easier. So much easier.
I agree. And I have two more driving-related topics. I don't know if you ever noticed. The lack of the front license plate on a lot of vehicles these days. I believe we are still a two-plate state.
Yes,
but a lot of cars out there no longer front license plate. And secondly,
a lot of the upper end cars do not, you know, they've got to put the front license plates on. They don't come from the factory that way. And the cars that I happen to like, and everybody knows what they are, I always make sure the front plate is on because why give probable cause to get pulled over for such a stupid violation?
Correct. And the second one I would like to bring up is, do tint laws even matter anymore in New York State? Because I've seen cars now completely four sides of their vehicle are you cannot see inside the vehicle anymore.
The tint laws are interesting because as a police officer doing a vehicle and traffic stop, you don't know if you're pulling over some gangbanger or you're pulling over some lady with lupus, because lupus is an acceptable medical condition to have heavily tinted windows, but you got to have a doctor's okay. I mean, there are legitimate reasons why people have heavily tinted windows, but I do understand what you are saying. There can't be that many people with lupus out there.
Agreed.
Too many. I mean, look, one is too many, okay? Not trying to downplay lupus, but there are conditions where people need to have tinted windows, but I think it's probably abused and probably should be more heavily enforced. And there should be some mechanism in the DMV computers where a police officer runs a plate and there's a little notation saying authorized to have tinted windows so they can save time and not do the VNT stop.
You're putting common sense and then government together, which is easy to go hand in hand.
Yeah, that's why I'll never be elected to office. All right. Thanks
for your time, Tom.
Thank you. Great call so far. I say we keep this up. You guys want to keep this up because topic's just getting going now, and I'm not going to switch. I mean, I do want to talk a little bit about pickleball, and people who can't speak correctly on the radio would also be a topic. 803-0930. Tanner Saunders is in the next room, and Tanner and I are both awaiting Todd Brody to come up with a new hourly intro because I have grown weary of Play That Funky Music, White Boy by Wild Cherry. I want to change it to something else, which I think is much more awesomer. I like messing with language sometimes. On News Radio 930 WBEN.